The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed the star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And he said, "Send them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring him word, so that I bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped at the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. May all that I say be to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today is the 12th day of Christmas, the day before the Feast of the Epiphany, which is always on January 6th, which makes this January 5th if you are really bad with numbers and calendars. Or as it will always be for me, the day after the colossal collapse that was the Chiefs game yesterday. Now, you may have thought that Christmas was as long gone as the waistline since all of the holiday eating, but in fact, it's not. As surprised as I am that the secular world thinks that the Christmas season starts the day after Halloween, the secular world seems surprised if they learn that Christmas actually does not begin until December 25th, and it lasts for 12 days. And the 12 days of Christmas, which is more than just a weird song, by the way, about weird gifts, and thus I guess a very weird gift giver. Now, the Feast of the Epiphany, again, is tomorrow, and the season that follows the Epiphany is a season of unveiling. What Epiphany means is a revealing, revelation. It's answering the question throughout the season, who is this child that's been born? What does it mean that Jesus has been born into this world? And the quintessential Epiphany story, certainly to start the season, is the one which I just read to you from Matthew, which involves the wise men. The story of the wise men that come from out there in the world, which assures us that this Jesus' business involves the entire world. It's not a localized event. It reveals to us the story that this Jesus' business is really the only place on this side of heaven where true royalty can be found, despite what our eyes would tell us. Now, as I've said many times, perhaps more times than you would hear, the reason that we give gifts at Christmas is because of the story that we just heard. The thought being, you know, these strange magi come from the east bearing gifts for the newborn king that started it all. They gave the gifts to Jesus. Jesus isn't here right now for us to give gifts to, so we'll just give gifts to each other. Very convenient for us. And Best Buy, which loves this particular line of biblical translation. But as I've also said, perhaps more than you want to hear, the underlying assumption behind all of that is wrong. We can indeed give gifts to Jesus. He says, whatever you give into the least of these, the most needy, those without you have given to me. But we'll have to think about that in the future because, of course, all of our gift-giving is by now done. Because by now, although we're still only the 12th day of Christmas, we've all, and to be honest, kind of moved on. We've received our gifts, organized in our midst, have waved and put away their trees, and attention has turned back to that thing that we like to call real life. And yet today, we gather and pause to reflect upon this marvelous little story about gift-giving. And even though it comes late in our season of gift-giving, I think it's still worth a look. Now, the first thing I encourage you to see in this story, to notice here, is that these wise men, they travel hundreds of miles. And they do it quite well, without mistake or error. And they travel hundreds of miles only to get lost at the very, very end. They get lost at the end by 6 miles. They go to the palace in Jerusalem, whereas the place that they're actually looking for is 6 miles away in some hovel in Bethlehem. It's an odd, almost quirky part of the story, but in fact it is my favorite part of the story. That you could travel from ancient Iraq or Iran or somewhere or the other and get every bit of your journey exactly right, leaving the stars, and until you finally get to the very end and get lost reading the street sign. So it'd be kind of like someone driving to Pensacola from Juneau, Alaska, with no GPS. Make no mistake whatsoever until they finally wind up over a cactus flower trying to get to St. Christopher. Now, it wasn't, of course, all their fault because they went to the logical place that they would go. They went to the king's palace. They were searching for a king. And thus, you would go to where the king hangs out. They were wise men. It seems to be a wise choice. The only problem is, of course, the king they were seeking for, it happens not to be that sort of a king. King's distant. And so while they were wise, they weren't that wise. Of course, who could have ever been? I mean, really, a peasant king. A crucified Messiah. A God who comes low. A Lord that is humble. What sort of kingdom is this? Well, it's a very different sort of kingdom, time will tell, playing by a very different set of rules with a very different sort of sovereign overseeing the entire thing. Well, finally they get it right. They travel that last 6 miles and they find this new king and they give their gift, which is the famous part of the story. And yet, I have to say that the greatest gift that was given out that day was the one that they received. It's the gift that comes when you finally discover that despite what this world says, that the greatest action of the world doesn't just happen in palace. I mean, if you turn on TV, you would think all of the action happens in palace-like places. I mean, the vast majority of the country is known as flyover. Doesn't even matter. It's not happening on the coast. It's not happening on Hollywood. It's not, you know, if you're not on TV, if you don't have your moment, if you don't have power in this world, matter. And yet what they discover was that the real action of the world isn't only taking place. Maybe even the greatest stories aren't taking place at all there. And particularly the activity of God is perhaps most easily seen in different places. In out-of-the-way places, in forgotten places, in hovel-like places, in places no one would think to look. But that makes sense because what they also discover is that this worldview of prestige and action and importance and certainly power lies exactly at right angles with the ways of God. See, they came wise in the world's view, and yet they left wise in God's eyes, which meant wise in reality. Which is again why I say the greatest gift that was given out on that day was given to them. And it should and it must be the gift that we receive as well. I mean, maybe you thought for Christmas all this is about that you were just kind of in it for the eggnog or the Xbox One. Then bam, all of a sudden God showed up at Christmas. And he crashed our Christmas party and gave us the greatest gift of all out of nowhere, the gift of himself. But not in only the godlike places. Not only in places as beautiful as this, or cathedrals. Not even on the great vistas of this world. You don't have to go to even a beautiful beach or a mountaintop. Discover at Christmas the gift that is God's presence in all of life. Even the tucked away places, the hovel-like places within you and me, the dark corners nobody dares look, and everybody just kind of walks past. It's quite a gift. Now, maybe like the wise men, we thought that we were doing all the gift-giving this year. And yet, again, it is we who got the greatest gift of all. God's presence in all the world. Not just the pretty place, the important place, the place of power, but even in our meager neighborhoods, in the places where you and I live, and go about that thing that we turn to call real life. I remember some years ago, watching from afar at that time, hurricane coverage on TV, and I don't even remember where it was, but there was a man somewhere, and his home had been damaged, and the TV crew was there interviewing him, and, you know, asked about the aid he'd be receiving, this sort of thing. And he said something that really just stuck with me. He said that perhaps the greatest gift of aid that he had been given was people just coming down and standing beside him. It was the people that came just to ask, you know, how can we be good neighbors? How can we help? How, you know, what kind of things we could do? People handing out water and all of these sorts of things. In other words, the greatest gift that he was given was the gift of the presence. The gift of solidarity, the gift of identification. I remember visiting an elderly lady right after Christmas, and she, in her little, apartment, had this huge new TV set. It was back when not everybody had a huge TV set. And it was big, you know, at the time, with 50 inches or something, you know, which now is small. But at the time, it was huge, it was thin, it was shaped differently, and I marveled at this thing. It was a gift from her son. I coveted it, really. And I said, you know, my God, this TV, you know, like a shrine in the room. And I couldn't believe that anybody could be so lucky as to get such a gift. And I was shocked, therefore, when she told me that it's not at all the gift she wished she could have gotten. She had gladly given away that amazing TV. For the true gift he wanted from her son, who had given it, which was for him to come and visit, which he hadn't done in a couple of years. Because, again, the best gift usually we can get in this world is the gift of presence. And that's what she wanted. Now, our God, of course, is the giver of many gifts. We owe our lives. our family, our mind, our food, everything that is or ever really could be, we owe to God. And yet, at Christmas time, we gather and acknowledge and wonder at the fact that God has given yet one more gift, a way more amazing gift, and that is the gift of His presence in the all of everything, including the tininess that sometimes can feel like our lives. Now, I say that this is the gift we wanted, even though we may have not known that this is the gift that we wanted. Because sometimes the gift that we most need is not the one for which we would even know to ask. But I say that if it is Jesus Himself, all along that has been behind all of our restless striving, our rushing here and there, our grabbing and getting, our buying and accumulating, in Him all of that stuff is solved. Because it's Him that we've been trying to fill up life with all along. He's been what we've been after all along, and at Christmas, we get filled completely with what we've longed for all along. Now, sometimes we can go about life kind of feel like those wise men walked in the last 6 miles. Turning this way, and not really knowing which way to go, staring at the stars, trying to figure it out at the end. And then being shocked that the thing that we were looking for wasn't up in the heavens at all, but it was right there in front of us. In a place we might have never thought to look. In one who is very easy to overlook, the face of Jesus Christ now all around us. And so it turns out what we needed this year most is a gift, which shocks us because we have about everything in the world that we could want, but a gift is what we needed and a gift is what we got. A gift of God for us. Not in words, doctrines, buildings. God with us. Emmanuel. The with us God. My favorite, one of my favorite lines in Scripture happens at the end of the Bible in Revelation. It's in the next and last chapter, and in it the heavenly choir says, and this is what they sing. This is what we will sing. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them and make His home with them. That is the gift that none of us would have ever dared or even had the audacity to ask for God to make His home amongst mortals. But it just turns out that that is exactly the gift that we most needed. And so it's great that that's the gift that we got. And if you were wondering, what's the point of all of this? Christmas, church, Christianity, Jesus, God with us. We with God. Are we wise enough to receive and open and wonder at this gift? Amen.